Unplugged, the podcast.
Leadership is someone for me that is encouraging others and helping others and leading a group in a way that everyone will listen and participate together. And teamwork is the key, I think, for a leader. I always tell to myself that if I let fear overrule me, then I will miss out on so many things. Opportunities might never come back.
Welcome to another episode of my podcast, She Unplugged. I've made it my mission to inspire you, to live your dream to the fullest as the CEO of your own company, as a solopreneur, an entrepreneur, or somebody who works in a team. This episode is again a special. Especially because I've invited a young lady who previously participated in the Girls Gearing Up program. And I'm going to ask her not only about that program and what she took out of it, what she learned there, but also what her dreams are, what her aspirations are, and also how she is seeing the world as it is today and what needs to change. Noah didn't just participate in the GGU program, but was also part of their mentoring program. She, I was told, is an excellent listener, is a moderator. She is a cook and an aspiring musician. Let's welcome my guest. I've already given you the introduction to this amazing young lady. And I said, you know, apart from that, she participated in the GGU program. She also did the mentoring program. And now I'm really, really curious to start there. But let me first of all say hi, Noah.
Hello. I'm very happy to be here. Thank you.
I'm so glad you agreed to this because I find it really helpful for somebody like me who is like 50 now to talk to somebody young who sees the world in a different way. And let me start there. How did you get involved with Girls Gearing Up?
Well, I was born first in Israel, my home country where I live now. But 3 years ago, I just moved back from Berlin after living there for 5 years with my family. And in the last year we lived there, in the last summer, my mom heard from other moms in my school about the GGU camp, which is Girls Gearing Up is a camp for girls from all around the world that learn together leadership skills and how to gain their confidence and hear from other power mentors about their how they have done things in life. And I just wanted to go and try and be in that camp.
Remind me, how old were you when you went to the first camp in 2019?
In 2019, I was about 12 and a half, almost 13.
Okay. Do you remember what you thought leadership was back then?
Leadership is someone for me that is encouraging others and helping others and leading a group in a way that everyone will listen and participate together. And teamwork is the key, I think, for a leader.
Yeah. And back then, remember, you were 12 and a half. Did you know that already back then, that that is a leader?
I don't think I knew exactly how leadership may turn out. But I think leadership, I always knew that leadership is an important role. And I always wanted to be a leader. I always wanted to be a part of a group and lead people to what they want to do and what they dream of doing.
Wow, that's pretty amazing. Take me on that journey. You went to the camp, and can you describe to me what a typical day at the GGU camp looked like?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, we woke up in the morning. We had a few rooms for a few girls, and we ate breakfast together and did all of that. And then we started our day with, for example, a few songs, and we had a lot of energy and sometimes dancing and people sharing things. We had amazing activities with our instructors that they were just wonderful. I can say a lot of things about them. They're amazing. And what I like about Jiu-Jitsu the most, I think, is us learning together new things, hearing things, gaining our confidence and courage to try. I think trying is something I've learned the most from Jiu-Jitsu.
Okay. Can you remember one example where you had to try something new and you were scared and maybe you didn't want to do it? How did you handle that situation?
Well, I always thought to myself that if I let fear overrule me, then I will miss out on so many things. And so I say to myself, well, what's the worst that can happen? Worst case, I can try something else.
That's pretty amazing. But have you got a specific situation that you remember where you thought, I took a deep breath and, but I was scared a bit, but I still did it?
Yeah, I think there are a few parts of myself where I felt that feeling a lot, mostly with moving. And me coming back here 3 years ago was a hard time coming back to my home country, but me not knowing even how to read or write in my language since I moved in a very young age. And that was a very big fear of me coming to a country where I don't know the real culture of teenage kids in my age. Going to a new class was very stressful. But I said to myself that, well, just go out there and try. That's the best thing that you could do right now.
I think a lot of adults can totally relate to that, because when we try something new, I mean, I know I'm still scared of situations, and your approach I find so valuable to say, well, on one hand, what's the worst thing that can happen? That's a really, really good question, because usually mm-hmm. the worst thing isn't that bad.
Yeah.
You know, and then so the fear gets a little bit of another argument, but also to say, I don't want to lose out on life. I don't want to lose out on exactly. experience. So that is so valuable to always keep thinking that.
Mm-hmm.
You did the program, the Girls Gearing Up program, twice, once in 2019, once yeah. 2020, the online version, and then the mentoring program. Now, what did you get out of the mentoring after twice having such an amazing camp experience?
Well, the mentoring program was something completely different, but in a good way. It was amazing. My mentor, she taught me how to present and how to be a presenter in front of a big audience. And we worked together in learning how to create good PowerPoints and learning how to speak in front of people, creating a speech, things that I could improve in my talking and my speaking. And I think she helped me a lot with learning how to structure things and how to gain the audience attention.
When could you put that to use, actually?
I think that mostly now, me as a student, I'm in ninth grade right now, I'm almost finishing. And in school, we present a lot in front of my class or even my grade. My grade has about 400 kids, and that is a lot. So if I present in front of them, or if I perform through music and stuff that I do as well, this really helps me.
What are you actually studying, Noah?
I'm studying in school, in my school right now, and I'm in the diplomacy class, where we learn about things that happen around the world. And also we learn different languages as well, except for Hebrew here in Israel. I learn English, Arabic, and Spanish.
Wow.
And being with kids that actually like to learn a lot is very fun. Being in a community where people are very attracted to things that I love too is very nice.
Yeah, I can relate to that. And It's so interesting because you're living in Israel, and I just keep remembering I nearly would have gone to Israel to do my PhD there. Uh-huh. I had the scholarship and everything in hand. So it's just bringing up a lot of memories for me too.
Wow. You know?
Yeah, I was so close to go. Anyway, when you look back, Noah, from 2019, when you did the first time the GGU camp, mm-hmm. and now we have 2022, how did you change as a person? What skills did you add to your portfolio? How maybe also the character changed? What can you say to that?
Well, before GGU, I think I was a very shy girl. I still am, but I was much more shy. I think I was scared to try more things or even enter different classes in my school when I was in primary school. And I think GGU helped me. I said again, try. I think a power mentor said in GGU once, a very important sentence that takes me until today. I'm still stuck with that. And she said that opportunities might never come back, so you have to at least try them because you never know if you'll have the chance to do them again. And I took that sentence into my heart, and until today, 2022, I use it and I always think about that.
And it's interesting, and I make the circle to what you told me just before we started our podcast. You said it's the first time you've been on the podcast.
Yes.
And you're nervous, and still, and that is, you know, exactly, this opportunity might not come back. So mm-hmm. you take it.
Exactly.
So that's, I mean, you're really living it. It's not just like a theory that you've heard from a mentor, but you're really living it. And that is very inspiring at your age.
Thank you.
Now, let's just move away from GGU and let's look a little bit at the broader picture. You're living in Israel. Before you were living in Germany, so you do have an international perspective. Mm-hmm. Where are the biggest challenges in our world right now?
I think that for me, what I see a challenge in our world, out of all the coronavirus pandemic that the whole world is still dealing with right now, I still think that a very big problem is climate change and global warming. That is a big factor, and I still see it all around. And some people don't really still know about it. And that's that part of it. And some people don't want to believe it. And the government also doesn't always have the time or doesn't want to solve it right now as well. So I think that's one of the biggest problems we have right now in the world.
And how do you see us finding a solution to that? Because sometimes I wonder, well, we've been talking about climate change for such a long time. I'm a scientist, so I don't doubt that, but I'm a scientist. So I've got that mindset that I actually do believe scientists. How do you think we can tackle the problem, seeing that politicians are worried about going down that aisle because they might not get reelected, mm-hmm. and industry being worried about losing money?
Mm-hmm.
What can we actually do?
I think that we do need the help of the government, but we don't need only that. I think, first of all, we need the government to listen to us a bit and to the experts that tell us that there is a problem, but also remember that we can be in charge and we're in charge of changing as well together, but we have to work together as well to make that happen. And I do believe that the government, what they could do is maybe add, for example, classes in school, teaching younger kids about the problems we have around the world and how they can see it in a different way and maybe find solutions from a young age. I think that would really help us in our world.
That brings back a memory. I did a trip to Bali during our world travel, and there are two girls back then, they were, I think, 10 and 12. And they were living on the island, and they were worried about the environmental issues due to the plastic bags and the plastic mm-hmm. waste that you find around there. I mean, it's terrible, you know, on the beaches. And they're initiated something to make Bali plastic bag free.
Wow.
I don't know exactly how many years it took them, but today mm-hmm. Bali is plastic bag free.
Wow.
And it started amazing. With two girls.
Wow. That just shows how much a little, two people, a person, can change something that big. It's amazing.
Well, think about Greta.
Yeah.
I mean, one girl sitting in front of the Swedish parliament every Friday. And the movement that started out of that.
She is amazing, yes.
I mean, you say that that's one of the main problems, and what are you doing to change it?
Well, that's a hard question, since I don't always know what to do in my country. And I'm always trying to not waste things. I don't want to waste, and I take everything for granted. And I see other people. I don't know. When we go out, I always feel bad. Or when I see other people have less, I'm very sad. And sometimes I just don't know what to do. And that's a big part where I'm just stuck in the middle of this whole situation.
If we dream up your perfect world, what would that look like?
A perfect world for me would be, well, it's totally not realistic, of course.
No, let's just go big. Let's just really go big. In an ideal world, what does that look like for you?
Well, except for peace, of course, which is one of an important thing for me. I also think that equality in gender, or in if it's financial equality around the world, and a safe world for everyone, for next generations to live in. That would be my dream perfect world.
What role would you like to take in making that vision reality?
Mm-hmm. Well, I personally love music a lot, and I play instruments. I play the piano, guitar, I sing as well. And I also like writing my own songs. And I think songs are other ways of taking action, or saying things in a different way, and in my way, in a more artistic kind of way. And I wrote a few songs, and sometimes they're mostly from what I experience in my life. If it's after bad days, or if it's after me just feeling very happy, it depends on the time. Or if I get to a cross point where I don't know what to decide, I write songs and take my feelings and spread them like that. And that's how maybe I would want to share and spread the word, or try to tell the world what's the problem and how we can fix it.
That moves me. Now, tell me, is there a chance to listen to any of your songs already somewhere on YouTube, maybe, or Spotify?
I have an Instagram account, and I'm trying to post a few songs on Spotify, I hope, very soon.
Well, I will make sure to link your Instagram account underneath the podcast, so we can listen to your songs. And I find that artistic way of talking about also very difficult topics, but also beautiful topics, of course, but also difficult topics, I find something beautiful. Because mm-hmm. I think music, art in general, has something global, has something that connects us.
It's the culture.
Yeah.
It's the culture. I think that everyone has different cultures, of course, but we have something that is related in them. And music is one big part of it. It doesn't have to be extremely the same, but music in the end is a heart for many people.
Yes. I can see you moving people with these songs. So that is a beautiful vision that I have. If you were talking to, let's say, the generation just after you, what lessons can they learn from you?
Well, I have two younger sisters too. They're a bit younger than me. And what I would like to say to younger generations is, first of all, try to chase your dreams. And to chase your dreams is not that easy, of course, and you have to work hard for them. But I think it's the most important thing to do something you love to do. And also, I want to see the younger generations to try, always try the opportunities that you have in front of you. Don't let fear overrule you. Just go ahead, get out there and do whatever you love to do. Even if it's a bit scary, even if things look a bit hard, you can just go out there and chase your dreams.
How do you feel about failing? Because, you know, you keep saying try, and what's the worst thing that happened? Mm-hmm. And imagine some try and they fail and they are on the ground and they're distraught because it didn't work. You know, it's like mm-hmm. taking the example of musicians. You know, there are so many musicians out there, and, you know, only a certain percentage really makes it onto the big stage. So how do you deal with that when you fail, when your dream is scattered?
Mm-hmm. Well, one time I had a performance in school and it didn't turn out the way I wanted to. And I was a bit sad. I didn't really like the end result of what turned out when I was singing or when I was playing an instrument. And then I said to myself that there is always a next time. I can always try again. And I was sad for a while, but I said that I don't need to be sad about what happened because it already happened. And I need to think about what I'll do next. Next time I can improve on that. Or next time I could maybe practice a bit more. And maybe that's what will help me to make it work next time.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of lessons learned.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. And I like the way when you say, you know, to kind of not drool on that sadness, on that disappointment, yeah. But, you know, it's in the past. And as we know, we can't change the past.
Mm-hmm.
And to say, okay, well, that's the way it is now. That happened. Okay. But what can I do next time that the result is more to my liking? Basically, what am I changing so mm-hmm. it turns out better? I really like that perspective.
I do think that you can be sad. I'm not saying that take the sadness away, because it's important to have also bad experiences in life and learn from the mistakes, of course, because our world is not just a path that guides us exactly to the point we want to get, to the good place. We have to get through bad experience or harder experience to learn from them, to get to that and be more with, to have more knowledge about them in order to fix them next time.
Well, it also builds our resilience, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I know I get over it.
Yeah.
Because that's a huge learning to say, well, okay, I was sad and I did all that. I took my learnings out, but I can overcome these difficult situations, and I can roar afterwards
in
the next performance.
For sure, yes. That's what I...
You are so reflective, Noah. You are so self-aware. You are so clear in your thinking. Apart from GGU, who inspired you? Who taught you to become the woman you are?
I think the woman that I look up for mostly is my mom, because my mom taught me a lot of things. And I think a part, she helped me a lot when she pushed me to try new things. She was a big part of that. She always wanted me to try and always calms me down when I'm almost letting fear overrule me and almost giving up. And my mom taught me a lot, if it's through how to work better, how to fix things, how to take things on me in life and try new things that come to me.
So your mom. And have you still got contact with the girls that participated in the camp?
I think GTU always stays, even 4 years later. Sometimes we say happy birthday. Sometimes we have new Zoom meetings together, which is amazing. And that's something I got from GTU, an amazing community of women and girls from all around the world that will forever maybe stay in touch. I hope so. Because after the GTU passed back there in 2019, I came and I left after a week crying because I didn't want to leave. It was unbelievable. I didn't think that would happen. Everyone were crying. It was very hard to let go. That week being together just connected us in such an amazing way that I can't even describe in words.
I think that's an experience to really cherish, because one thing is for women to be also successful is to have that network, and you build a network. That is something that women, in my opinion, need to learn more to use, to help each other out, to kind of walk on each other's shoulders to reach the goals that we want to reach.
Yes.
I have always a last question in my podcast. I love this question. Let's see. Noah, was there a question that you had wished I had asked and I didn't, and now you could answer it? Or if there's no such question, how would you summarize the past 20-25 minutes?
Well, I don't have a question that pops out to my mind at the moment, but the past 25 minutes have been for me just a big reflection and overview of what happened to me. And now I think back of me like a few years ago and me now, and it's an amazing change and how I moved from a different country to here, and how 3 years already passed, and me gaining more confidence and me being a totally different person than I was back then before GTU. And I'm so happy that I got to be a part of this. And I'm going to be again in this July of 2022, and I'm very excited for that too.
I think you can give yourself a lot of credit for the development you went through in those past 3 years. From the bottom of my heart, thank you so much for taking the time to come onto the podcast. Thank you, Noah.
Thank you so much for everything. You really, thank you very much for this opportunity, first of all, and enjoyed it a lot, very much.
You heard a production by Anja Förster. Copyright Anja Förster. Music by Audionautix.com.